Blog Talk Radio. Good. And this is our first, you know, the HAPS for 2013.
Yes, it is. Yes, it's been a very, very busy year for both of us in so many ways.
You're not lying about that. And we won't even get into details because that's a six-hour show and we don't have that time.
Plus four.
Make it a 10 solid hours of just this is what's been happening in life since 2013. Yeah.
You already know, Missy. You already know.
Absolutely. So I hear that you're working on a project, so I just want to plug that really quick with the Wicked Chicks. So tell us a little bit about what we need to, you know, be keeping our ears open for.
Just mad insanity in music. Yes, I kid you. I mean, that would be another six-hour show, but, you know. In a nutshell, it's just, you know, my best friend, Asia Lorraine, and I are going to be, you know, we've just been going at it really hard and continuing with our melange of, you know, different music styles. And, you know, we'll be releasing soon. Of course, you know, there's been a lot of things that have been going on. And it's had to, you know, we've had to delay our release, but we'll keep everybody posted, and it's going to be really soon. But I'm so excited. But yeah, see, I can't even talk about it right now because we'll just keep going on and on and on.
Yeah, but definitely. So we'll all stay tuned. And for all those who don't know, now you know to follow T. Weston Reed on Twitter, Facebook. Just Google her. Drop her into Google. She comes up everywhere. And, you know, I've been getting a little sneak peeks of little clips and stuff, and you guys do have some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff coming your way, and I mean in a good way. So we look forward to that, T. Austin. So what has been going on in the movies? I mean, as you guys just heard, we do not know what's happening for real, for real. Because we've been so busy. But we're going to tell you what we kind of just found out 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, about compliance.
Yeah, compliance. I was actually trying to get everyone that I know to watch this, so you guys go out there and get that as well. It's called Compliance, and basically is about a true story of actual events that took place around a few states of a man who act like he was security or a figure of, you know, authority, I should say, as a police officer, and he called different fast food franchises by staking a place and finding out all the key elements he needed to know to go on the phones and call the managers and, you know, pose as this officer and have them do, like, crazy pants things to the employees that he, of his choice. And he got sexual gratification from that. And I know it sounds outlandish and unreal, but totally check it out. The panel that show that we're going to have at the end of the month, I believe, is the 29th. You guys need to tune in for that at 9 p.m. Eastern because we're going to be talking about that, and I urged everybody to watch it. So it's something that could happen to any of us, any of our children, loved ones, whatever. So, you know, it's definitely something to get in tune with. So moving on from that, because I don't want to give too much away, but definitely check it out. And if you guys don't check it out, then definitely tune in on the 29th with the panel, because we're going to be chopping it up about that.
So, yeah, I'm checking that out definitely, because it sounds insane.
Mm-hmm. It really is insane. Trust me. It took me like 5 times before I can sit through it.
People are really nutty buddies out there. I mean, be careful. Be careful, everybody. Watch your kids. Know everything that's going on constantly. Because, wow.
Yeah. Be very safe. Exactly. So from what I'm seeing, and, you know, you guys can always dial in at 818-495-6975 and correct T. Austin and myself if we're, like, off the marker. But 21 and over, that's out. Don't know what it's about, but definitely out.
21 and over?
Yeah, it's supposed to be about a straight college, okay, they said straight. A straight college student, Jeff Chang, who has always done what he was supposed to do, but now him and his best friend is waiting for his 21st birthday for a night out in medical school to just totally snap out. So, you know, it's going to be one of those type of movies where you're just like a nerd and then you just transform into this, like, you know, stud.
Yeah.
I'm imagining.
A complete party geek, and it's just, I've seen the previews, and it's, you know, completely insane. He's turning 21, so if anybody out there has, you know, had any type of 21, you know, crazy party, I won't say that I have, because I'd be lying. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know what it's like, but... It's currently sitting in the number 3 spot, actually. So it's, yeah, I think a lot of people are relating to that, that 21. Oh, I'm giving my age away. I was like, what, you're 16 and I was working on 17, right?
Right, last show. That was the last show. That's what was happening. You know, now you're going to let them know you're 22. Like, you play too many games. You play too many games, T. Weston. You play too many games. But,
yeah,
moving right along, we're going to go really quick because Nydia Halligren is going to be giving us a call in, and she's a cinematographer. She does amazing documentaries, what we'll be getting into shortly. But before we do, we just wanted to run down some quick movies like Identity Theft. So that should be hilarious with Jason Bateman and, you know.
Yeah. Number 2 spot.
The Last Exorcism Part 2. That's my type of movie. Hopefully it's not corny. They have The Snitch with Dwayne Johnson. The Rock.
Action. Yeah, definitely action.
Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D as well.
Yeah.
And The Safe Haven for the romance and drama people, which I'm not into at all. Silver Linings Playbook, which I heard was a really, really, really good. I mean, it's been recommended to me over, like, 5 times last week. It's a comedy.
Oscar winners in that movie.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just checking out who's in it now. And Escape from Planet Earth, which is for PG for the little ones out there.
Yay.
And A Good Day to Die with one of my favorite, Bruce Willis.
Oh, man. He's died almost, 5 times now? He's almost died? I love it.
He's resurrected so many times that, you know, I have no idea how many, but it's definitely a lot.
Yes, yes, he's just, you know, he's off the chain. He's a survivor. I love it.
Yes, definitely. So enough about that. On our next HAPS, we'll be back up to date, back up to speed, and we'll be bringing you everything from reality TV, from whatever, the sagas that continue to happen on a daily basis, on and off screen. Yeah, so just a little bit about our guest that's coming up, Nydia Halligren. She credits, her camera credits, you know, Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11, and I know a lot of people have heard about that. The Academy Award nominated Trouble, The Waters, and HBO Emmy nominated War, Don Don. So basically, Trouble, The Water is the Katrina, you know, situation that happened and everybody's conscientious of. She's, I like one of the things that she said, which I'm going to kind of go over with her. My camera became my passport. I think that's a deep statement.
Yes, Yes, I read that too.
And it just stood out for me. I mean, her documentaries, I've watched quite a few of them, and they're just crisp. They're informative. They're engaging. And, you know, after she sent me a few clips, you know, I emailed her back, and I was like, okay, well, where's the rest? What's happening? That's all, you know, it was like that. And I'm normally not like that with documentaries unless it has something to do with something that can really captivate you, because documentaries are just like real life things, you know, and sometimes it just has a way of just dragging itself out, in my opinion, if it's, you know, poorly done. But Nydia just has a way of captivating her audience, including Miss P, who has a busy mind and ADHD a little bit. And mm-hmm. you guys need to go and check her out on her website. ASAP at NadiaHallgren.com. Period.
Is that .com or .tv?
Oh my God, not .com. Excuse me. Thank you, T.
.tv.
Yeah, .tv. Thank you. Now, what would I have done without T on with me tonight? I would have been sending y'all all to the wrong places. You know?
Yeah, because I'm on it. I've been on it, you know, checking everything out, and I just can't wait to grill her, because I don't even know how she managed to get herself in these situations to film, you know, and I'm interested in knowing.
Yeah, definitely.
Plus she's done the traveling, which, you know, I'm a travel head too, but she's been places that
right.
I want to know about.
Okay, she's been some places and seen some things. So without further ado, let's bring on Nydia so we can get in tune. Again, for all those who have any questions, you can put your feedback in the chat room, which is now open, and you can also dial in at 818-495-6975. So without further ado, let's bring on the beautiful, talented, and I'm going to say just, like, totally awesome, because I just, you know, love her so much. Ms. Nydia Hallgren, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Precious, how are you?
Good, and yourself? This is T. Austin Reed. T. Austin Reed, meet Miss Nydia.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm outstanding now that I'm back on your site, and, you know, I'm
oh,
checking.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
You
definitely, you know, raised my senses and awareness on cinema photography. I can't even get the words right. I'm so excited. you know, but this is, like, awesome, because I've never met a cinema photographer, especially a female. And reading about you has been very, you know, inspirational. So my first
question. Thank you so much. That's very kind of you. I appreciate it.
My first question to you would be, you know, what are you thinking, you know, when you're on locations and you're filming? What's going through your mind as you're doing this?
I think one of the most exciting things about being on location and filming other people's lives is that you get to be a part of other people's lives for that moment. And I really get kind of swept away in their lives and what they're doing, and I just focus completely on trying to tell the story that they're telling in the most beautiful way possible. So I guess that's usually just kind of what I'm thinking, and like to stay really concentrated and really focused on carrying that out.
Wow. And how do you get started? And tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got started in filming.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised in the Bronx, and I was very lucky enough as a teenager. I attended this community program of photography that one of the most prestigious photography schools in the world called ICP, International Center of Photography. They kind of set up this community program in the Bronx where I grew up. And I started going there when I was a kid, and I just really fell in love with documentary photography and kind of following people and being able to just watch people and take pictures of them. It was just so fascinating to me. And I kind of, from there, crossed over into and got interested in making videos and documentary films. I made a short film about female graffiti writers when I was a teenager, and I showed it in a local film festival in my neighborhood in the Bronx. And just so happened that a woman who was there afterwards came up to me, and she was like, "I love your movie. You know, what are you doing? Are you working in film?" And I was like, "No, I don't know anyone in film. I just like to make my own films and, you know, stuff like that." And she was like, "Okay, well, let's stay in touch. I work in film, and, you know, if there's ever an opportunity for us to work together, I would love that." So I was like, "All right, cool." Took a number, and someone saw me talking to her, and they was like, "Do you know who that woman is?" I was like, "I have no idea. That's Michael Moore's producer."
Ooh, wow.
So I was like, "Whoa, okay." And I was like, "Great." And she was so nice to me, and just so, I could tell she was, like, just a gracious woman. And so we stood in touch after that, and then she called me one day, and she's like, "Hey, I have a job for you." And I was like, "Cool." And she's like, I was like, "What is it?" She's like, "Well, Michael Moore is making a new film, and I was wondering if you would be my sister." And, of course, I was like, "Oh, my God, this is incredible." And it turned out that the film was Fahrenheit 9/11. And so I was able to be his producer's field assistant on that film. And she knew that I was interested in being a cinematographer. I wanted to shoot ultimately. So she said, "Whenever there's a chance for you to shoot." And, you know, just keep in mind, I was very young and I had no idea what I was doing. So giving me that responsibility for a film that was that important and that big was, you know, she really believed that I was capable of doing this. And that gave me some confidence. And so she gave me an opportunity to film, and I ended up shooting a scene that was in the film. And it turned out to be the biggest grossing documentary of its time. And from there on, I kind of had a foothold in the documentary film industry. So it kind of just happened like that, you know. So I got lucky, basically.
Yeah, beautiful. But, you know, with that being said, and, you know, that was a really profound documentary, Fahrenheit 9/11,
yes.
For all those
yes,
who
yes.
are, you know, into, like, things like that, because a lot of us are behind times. But anyway, with that being said, can you think of, like, a shot either throughout your career in the last few years that has been particularly, like, challenging and was, like, very satisfying once you had it completed?
Sure. I think it's on my website. There's a short film that I made about teenage train surfers in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And basically there are, you know, these groups of teenage boys who, because they don't have an incredible amount of resources like, you know, we do in America, even in the poorest neighborhoods, your school will have a basketball team or football team or something kind of recreational to do. These kids, they really don't have those types of resources, and they've made their own sports almost, and they've created these things that that they find exhilarating and entertaining, as well as a way for them to kind of show off to their friends or to girls. And they do this incredibly dangerous sport called train surfing. And so I wanted to make a film about them. I went to South Africa, met these, like, great kids, followed them around. But what they were doing was really dangerous and really scary, and it was really hard to film that without feeling like you were also going to, you know.
Yeah, I was about
like,
to ask
file
you
the
about
train
that.
With them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that was a really challenging shoot. But, you know, I think when you go that far across the world and you make a decision you're going to make a film about something, when you're actually put in the moment, you know that you just have to be brave and you have to do it while also, you know, not doing anything stupid and being safe, but, you know, trying to get the shot. It's all about getting the shot, you know.
Absolutely. And I think what T. Weston was going to say is kind of what I was going to also say, too, as well, because I think, you know, when I first went to your website and I watched that, I was just, like, so stuck on that I was like, okay, is it a part two? Is it going to be a part six? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
It's, like, one of those things where we were just joking about how Michael Will what's his name? We said the Die Hard. He died 5 times.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis. But we're like, okay, Nydia, we want like 5 surfing videos, like ASAP.
All right, I like that.
because it was so like, intriguing. And like you said, it is
yeah.
limited resources, and it is dangerous, but it shows their skill and their resource
yeah.
and being able to, like, find something to do, although it is dangerous.
Yeah, totally. It's amazing how, you know, kids thrive and they're just bursting with energy and talent, and any way they can manifest that, they do it. And that's kind of what drew me to that story. On top of the fact that they're all just, like, beautiful children, and they're great to look at, and the landscape of Soweto is so beautiful as well, that, you know, it was a really fun project.
Mm-hmm. How did it make you feel knowing that as you're filming, you know, you're looking through the lens, and at any point in time with these kids running on between the cables and the cars and stuff, you know, that something could have gone, like, really wrong?
Yeah.
I was
really scared. I was totally scared out of my mind. You know, like, I told them, I guess the idea is, like, when you're filming and there's a camera there, people can sometimes do things that they wouldn't normally do because
mm-hmm.
they know there's a camera there. And that's something that, as a documentary filmmaker, you never want. And especially because they were teenagers, I told them, you know, I was like, listen, I'm with you guys. I'm filming. I'm hanging out with you for, you know, a couple of weeks. I don't want you to do anything that you wouldn't do if I wasn't here. And I don't want you to show up to the camera. I want you to just exist as if I'm not there. And I think I hung out with them long enough, and we felt comfortable enough with each other that I really felt like they kind of just forgot that I was there. And they didn't take any extra unnecessary,
risk.
You know,
yeah.
precaution,
risk.
Yeah, risk, because I was there, you know. But it was terrifying, and this is, like, it's interesting when you're looking through a lens, sometimes you forget that you're actually living in that moment as well, you know. And so I didn't really feel the impact of it until I went home and I watched the tape, and I was like, oh my God, that is so dangerous. Like, I can't believe that they were there and I was there, and this is happening right in front of me, you know. It's like almost surreal, but I just thank God that, you know, nothing
yeah, everything
happened.
Turned
everyone
out great.
Was safe, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's always, there's always a chance that anything can happen, and but I'm happy nothing
yeah.
did.
Yeah,
you know,
it
was
really, really good. Absolutely. Can you
thank
talk
you.
About?
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Can you talk about who were, like, photographers or filmmakers, cinematographers that inspired you to get into the business?
Sure. I think one of my original influences was photography. I didn't, you know, like, now we have the internet and we have Netflix and we have access to pretty much, like, all types of films at any moment. I guess when I was a teenager, we didn't have as much access to, you know, films the way that we do. So all I had was, like, I loved magazines and I loved looking at photographs, and I especially loved, like, National Geographic and travel photography. And I guess since, you know, I grew up in New York City, I grew up in the Bronx, we really didn't get to go anywhere or see anything different. And I just always dreamed that I wanted to be in these places that I saw pictures of. And in my head, I was like, well, the only way I could get there is if I am the person taking that picture. And so that was, like, the initial connection that I made. And I knew that I wanted to somehow have a profession as a camera person, whether it was a photographer or, you know, cinematographer, to take me to those places. So that was my initial inspiration.
Absolutely. T. Austin? Did you have a question?
Yeah, I want to know about Trouble in the Water.
Oh, yeah, my favorite movie of all time. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Trouble in the Water is a feature-length documentary that came out in 2008, and it won the Grand Jury Prize at the Sundance Film Festival, and it also was nominated for Academy Award. It's the story of a young couple in New Orleans who, during Hurricane Katrina, really, like, in this amazing, like, feat of bravery and community, helped save their entire block from being killed in the storm. And this couple was young; they were 25 at the time. And on top of that, the young woman who is the star of our film, her name is Kim Rivers. She also documented this entire. This entire sequence of events where she goes out into her neighborhood. She has, like, a small video camera, and she doesn't have the resources to leave the lower ninth ward where she's from. So she's like, hey, I'm here. I'm gonna kind of make a film. I'm gonna make a little documentary. And she interviewed her neighbors and asked people what they were doing and where they were going. And it's like this kind of real eerie feeling because at the point where the film comes out, we know what's gonna happen. You know, we know that this community is going to just be overtaken by, you know, all this water. The levees are gonna break, and so many people, their lives are gonna be at risk or taken from them. And Kim not only helps save all these people, but she shoots this incredible footage of the storm. And we basically went out to, as a film crew, and I was a cinematographer, I wanted a couple directors and other cameras and sound, you know, kind of how we roll. And we went out down to New Orleans as soon as we could, right after the hurricane, looking for a story. And we came upon Kim and Scott and ultimately made this wonderful film. Yeah,
it was very intense to watch. The way the time went by, and you could see things happening, and that was from a very personal perspective. So it really hit me. I was like, wow, it wasn't a news report. This is like live, hands on. This is how it's going down, and I was scared watching it.
Yeah, it's a really emotional film too. It's pretty mind blowing. Yeah, and meeting a woman like Kim, who is just such an incredible force in so many different ways, that it was a true journey and incredible experience. Working on that film.
Awesome.
And you also won some, awards and things of that nature too, haven't you, Nydia?
I have. I've won some cinematography awards, and then I've also shot films that have, gone on to win some pretty huge awards and stuff like that. I contributed photography to, most recently, Searching for Sugar Man. I just won an Academy Award, one Sunday ago?
Yay!
Congratulations.
Thank you, about a Detroit musician who, his music influenced the, anti-apartheid movement in South Africa, and so So, yes, I've been very lucky to not only get to work in the film industry, but also to work with incredible directors and, have gotten to make some, or be a part of some really, great films.
Right, as well as work with some amazing names out there as well.
Yes.
So who was, like, the most challenging person to work with without, being
man.
Mean?
I know, I'm like, oh, man. Where do I begin? That's a hard question to answer. I'll tell you some really great experiences I've had. I've had an opportunity to film Desmond Tutu and Richard Branson, incredible people who, Morgan Freeman, Alicia Keys, just all these incredible people who have contributed to society in one way or another, and it's really, being around great people and getting to spend time with them and travel with them, it's such a, a wonderful experience, because you hope in some little way that their greatness rubs off on you, or you can learn something from them, even if you just sit with them and have a meal, or, share a car ride, or, have an experience together. Pretty awesome.
No,
for
you're
sure.
Absolutely right about that, because talking to you is pretty awesome right now. So.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
You notice how speechless I am?
That's what happens on this show. Like, we have so many amazing guests that, you just get like that sometimes. Like, I could just listen to you all just talk about anything. Like, what did you do when you got up this morning? And then what did you eat for lunch?
Thank you. I feel like sometimes I'm behind the camera so much that I'm not as articulate as I would like to be, but
you're doing fine.
Very helpful.
You're doing fine. So you shot a few films in the past few years that have been, taking place in vast places. What was
mm-hmm.
the most
yeah.
memorable, because you traveled five continents and 25 countries?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, one incredible experience I had was I shot a film called War Done Done that is on HBO, premiered on HBO, and is directed by Rebecca Vitney Cohen, and it's a film about the Sierra Leonean War Tribunals.
Mm-hmm.
And I made several trips to Sierra Leone, and we spent like a huge amount of time out there. Basically, the story is about, you know, there was the civil war in Sierra Leone, and in order, you know, wars that start in, you know, for example, like in the jungles of in the Congo, for example, what happened in Liberia and what happened in Sierra Leone. Oftentimes, there's so many different groups kind of fighting each other that it's really difficult to point out who was responsible for the war and who did what and things like that. So in Sierra Leone, they set up this UN court in order to prosecute the people that they felt were the most responsible for this war. But that was a really difficult thing to determine. And so the film kind of sets out to investigate this war and some of the major players in this war. So while we were making that film, we spent like a huge amount of time in the bush of Sierra Leone, kind of like in the jungle, you know, traveling and investigating and you know, just having these like incredible experiences, as you can only imagine. Some really awesome and, you know, mind-blowing and seeing all this beauty and meeting all these great people. And then some just really terrifying, mostly just like, you know, getting around there is really, you know, could be dangerous. Like the roads aren't that good. The infrastructure's not good. And, you know, there's some sketchy things that can happen. So, you know,
spending a few months in the jungle is kind of scary.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Were you ever afraid of being attacked?
I was never afraid of being attacked. I never felt like my safety was in danger in that way.
Mm-hmm.
In a country like Sierra Leone, that is now, you know, a very peaceful place, probably more peaceful than America is. I never felt that someone would harm me, but
mm-hmm.
probably the most danger you're in is like driving in a car, you know, just because the roads are really bad and, you know, there's no, like, policing the road so people can drive really fast or, you know, a little bit reckless. And there's, like, there's just not that type of order there sometimes. So most of the time I feel like, you know, my life is in the most danger even here is, like, when you're driving in a car, right? That's probably how people, like, that's probably, like, the number one cause of death in most places. So, but yeah, other than that, like, I've gotten into some seedy situations, but nothing where I was like, okay, someone's gonna hurt me. But I have felt like I was gonna possibly like drown on a ferry that caught on fire that I was on in the middle of the ocean, you know, like things like that where you're like, this is really scary. But you know, we managed to make it out alive.
Wow. So what other countries have you been to? Because You said 25, and I'm still, you know, I can count on one hand the countries I've been to. I mean, and I got, when Miss P told me about, you know, and I started doing the research and found out how many places you've been to, I was like, what? I've got one hand. Where is she, and where's her luggage so I can crawl in that and get to go with her next time? Where have you been? And I want to go.
Where have I been? So I said I've been to Sierra Leone, South Africa, of course. I got to travel all over Asia, all over India, I'm sorry, last year for a project. I lived in Japan for a year and a half. I've been to South Korea, Thailand, all over Europe. Of South America, Central America, Caribbean, you know, wherever the jobs take me, I'm there, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I've been lucky. I've gotten to travel and other people pay for it. So that's another really good thing about being a photographer.
I just set myself up for the okie doke for even asking that question.
Okay. Okay. Like the list goes on and on and on. So I just have like two more major questions that I wanted to, you know, get out of you
sure.
if I can. I like the fact that you made this statement, and you may not know how profound it is, but I found it very profound, and that was my camera became my passport.
Yes.
That stood out for me above everything else that was written on your site, because I was just like, wow, does she even know how, like, deep that is?
Awesome. I'm glad that that meant something to you. It's nice.
Yeah, that, I mean, I have no words for that, and I really couldn't think in a short span of time, like, what to say to you about that, but I just... wanted you to know that that was very profound, and I'm going to kind of probably run that on a couple of shows that, you know, AKA
All
Media
right.
said it, but, you know, I'm repeating it. You know, let your camera or whatever, your creativity become your way through life, and I just think
yes,
that was very
yes.
profound and deep that you said that. But in closing, I just wanted to know if there's any, like, projects that you want us to stay in tune for. And secondly, like, if you can leave someone that, you know, is ready to break into the industry, and we have a lot of listeners out there who are aspiring filmmakers, cinematographers themselves, and, you know, I'm sure they would love to get your insight on, you know, what they need to be focused on and what they need to expect immersing into this arena.
Sure. I'll start there. Well, my first, I think, what I usually tell, especially young people who come to me and they're like, I want to work in film, I want to be a cinematographer, I want to be a director, I really try to encourage them, and most of them say, like, what school should I go to, you know? And I didn't go to film school. I went to Hunter, which is the university. It's great, a great school. But sometimes I think what is more important than learning the craft of filmmaking is really, learning how to write. Like, writing is just, like, a really important skill that I think sometimes, you know, if you think you're a visual artist, it might be easy to overlook how important writing is. But before anyone will give you a penny to make a film or will allow you to expand on your idea, you have to be able to write it down. You have to be able to put it on paper and make a convincing argument that the project that you're going to move forward and create or that you're asking someone to finance is worthwhile. And the only way you can prove that before you make it is by writing about it, you know. So I encourage people to, like, sharpen your writing and your English skills as much as you can and read as much as you can because, you know, filmmaking is storytelling, and storytelling comes in many different ways, but you know, there's nothing like a great written story as a book or a magazine article or something like that, where you can begin to start, as you read stories, like, start visualizing and imagine how you would translate that story if you were just telling it in pictures. And, you know, I think film schools are great, but they're also really expensive. And depending on, you know, what your finances are like or your parents' finances, you may not want to go and spend $60,000 a year on a film school. And you don't have to. There's, you know, it's easy to make films now. There's affordable video cameras. You can, you know, get an editing program and just kind of go out and make your own films. So just learn as much as you can. Absorb as much knowledge as you can, whether it's about film or anything else. And make films, you know. If you want to be a director, you have to direct films. So even if you're making 5-minute films or you're making 2-minute films or you're making films with no actors and it's just, like, visual or, you know, be creative and with whatever you have. You don't need a lot of money and you don't need, you know, a big set or a crew or anything like that. Like, your imagination can just take you so far. So I have that to say, and also just believe in yourself and be around other people who believe in you. You know, I think that I had no idea how I would become a filmmaker. I didn't know anyone in the film industry. You know, I grew up in the Bronx. It's not like I'm connected to anybody. And I knew I had a dream, and that's it. You know, but I never gave up on it, even at times when it seemed like it was a really difficult thing to carry out, and I stuck with it. And then when I met people who believed in me, I allowed them to encourage me and not be around people who discouraged me, you know? So I think the people that you are around, always make sure they're creative and they're progressive and they're making you feel good about what you're doing and your work. So those are my thoughts on
well, amen to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So do you have any projects and things of that nature that you're working on that, you know, people need to be in tune to?
Oh man, you know, I have a few projects. I'm trying to think. I just worked on a film called Citizen Coke that premiered at Sundance 2013, just a couple months ago, and that's a film about money and politics. And it's really, really interesting and scary. And I'm not sure when that's going to be in theaters or on TV yet, but that's a film that's going to kind of blow people's minds. So I would love for you to keep an eye out for that.
Absolutely. So where can people follow you? Of course, I gave them the website, which I originally said .com, but T. Weston Reed corrected me with, you know, .tv.
Yes.
So it's NydiaHallegren.tv. And do you have Facebook, Twitter? Because I see you're not very active on Twitter.
I do. I'm not a very, like, socially networking active person. I kind of use it more to, like, I'm a news junkie. Like, I love news. I like to know everything that happens everywhere in the world. At all times, so that's kind of how I use Twitter and Facebook. But I'm out there. You could friend request me on Facebook. I might never post anything, but if you wanna, you know, message me, you can do that, and I'll answer.
Yeah,
that.
I got you on Twitter. I found you on Twitter.
You did? Oh, see, I guess maybe I don't check my mail on Twitter enough.
No, you don't.
Facebook, I do. I do go on Facebook. I definitely do.
You don't.
It's kind of, there's so many things to keep up with in this world.
I know,
much.
It's crazy pants. It really is.
It is. But yeah. I love everyone that posts on Facebook and Twitter, and I love reading everyone's stories and what's happening. And it's like, to me, I guess since I'm such an observer, because as a documentary filmmaker, we watch people.
Right.
Like, I'm so interested in everyone else, but I don't find myself very interesting, you know, so.
Oh, my goodness.
If I'm going to post something, I'm always like, that's not really that interesting. So I'll be like, nah, delete it. But I find everything everyone else says like really interesting.
Well, you're amazing, Nydia, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the Haps and tell us what's going on with you so everybody can be in tune. A few people have some questions in terms of can people hire you for documentaries, or, you know, is it just something that, you know, do you do those type of things?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a freelance filmmaker, and I'm always looking for interesting stories and projects to work on. So, yeah, of course, you know.
And absolutely. Can I give out your email address to people that want to inquire and reach you?
People can contact me that through Facebook on that end, I will definitely get back to them. That's probably the best way to do it, just because I try to keep, like, everything in some type of category in terms of my fantasy, my life, because it gets a little crazy sometimes.
No,
but yeah, if anyone has, you know, like, questions, requests, whatever, just like hit me up on Facebook. I promise I'll answer you back. And, you know,
you can take it from here.
I welcome them 100%. Yep.
Definitely. So we appreciate you, and we love what you do, and I'm constantly going to bug you. You already know that. And when you have your new stuff come out and things of that nature, you know I want to have you back so you can bring us up to speed on all your latest and greatest. But I just want to thank you again for coming on and getting us in tune with you, Nydia, and we look forward to it.
Thank you. I definitely enjoyed my time talking to you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Okay, have a good night. All right,
bye-bye. Yes, so that was Nydia Hallegren. So definitely hit her up on Facebook, because she just told you here that she will get back to you guys, period. So if you have any questions, again, I couldn't really get in depth because I know she had limited time and I went way over the time frame, but I definitely wanted to put it out there because people were inquiring about that T. Weston, about, you know, does she do, freelance, or does she just do big projects? So, I mean, if you guys could, you know, swing it and, you know, have Nydia work on one of your projects with you, I think that would be amazing. So hit her up on Facebook, and her last name is spelled Hallegren, first name Nadia. Yeah.
Hit her up, people. She's awesome.
Definitely. Yeah, totally, totally, totally awesome. And I'm not even going to say, you know, how young and talented she is, but she's definitely doing a damn thing at her age. So keep doing a damn thing, Nydia. We look forward to all great things. So, T. Weston, I mean, was there anything else that you came across coincidentally within our five-minute search of anything you wanted to put out there to our listeners in terms of movies or anything that you came across that you want to share before we get out of here?
Not really, because I got so sidetracked by her. I would just love, like, to have 2 days Mm-hmm. I mean, 48 straight hours of just, you know, straight conversation. I bet you it just put me to sleep, telling me all the places and everything that she's done. So I'm going to work on that and see if I could, you know, put her in front of the camera to tell me personally what she's been doing, because that's just too enviable.
It's very intriguing. And you know that in each location, and you as a traveler yourself know that, you know, people always have interesting stories to tell when they travel, even if it's just like something that they may seem like, oh, it's not that serious. To someone else that haven't had that experience, is definitely something that you just hang on every word. Like, and then you went up the street and then you got water, you know, it's just like that.
Yeah. Everything, when you go to foreign places, you know, when you leave the country, everything becomes, you know, 10 times more magnanimous than it would be if you, you know, were just in the States or wherever you're from. To, you know, it's a boring story otherwise. But, yeah, so, I mean, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And even if you had the opportunity to travel to that particular place, everyone has a different experience. And each time that you go to that place, because I've been to Mexico 4 times, different parts, it's just always something new that I'm learning that I didn't pay attention to the first 1, 2, or 3 times. So,
yeah,
you're constantly evolving when you venture out of your normal resting place, which could be right in your home, doing nothing, staring at the walls like Ms. P has been doing.
Wow.
Okay, taking myself through the journey of the walls to my neighbors' houses, listening to them. You know, it's amazing how you start to pay attention to, you. Oh, my God, I had neighbors. When you're active, no, nothing around you matters and nothing exists. But when you're just, like, in that mode, it's like, oh, my God, do people really beep horns around here? I had no idea. You know, it's just like one of those things.
Yeah.
So it may sound bugged out to you guys, but people, you know, some people can relate to this to me, you know, for me.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in that mood, just everything starts to, like, make a sound or be relevant, things that wasn't relevant before. You're like, oh, my God, I didn't even know this has been on my desk for, like, 5 months, you know, things like that. It's a bowl of cereal that has rice. Or, no, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Keep it real. Come on.
And you wonder, where's that smell coming from? But it's been there.
Oh,
it has
no.
Penicillin. No, I'm just kidding. But this has been really fun, and I'm glad that the Haps is back in, you know, swing. We're going to be tweeting by, I say, roughly Friday, Saturday, the next Hap date. I'm really working hard on trying to get, you know, I shouldn't give it all away, but I'm definitely trying to get Charlie Murphy on the Haps. So keep your fingers crossed for that.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
You got to work that one out.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely trying to work it on. You know, I'm throwing on my good girl grin and everything. So if there's anybody out there who has, you know, that's into cinematography, photography, videography, anything that's creative, I mean, directors or film writers, screenwriters, or things of that nature, and you want to come on the Haps and talk to T. Austin and myself, you can definitely hit T. Austin up at T. Austin Reed on Twitter, or hit up the Intune Show at Intune Show, and let us know. And we would definitely love to get in tune with you, because everyone is relevant and everyone is important, and we want to support everyone's dreams and goals on the Intune Show. So with that being said, babies, you know, I'll be on air tomorrow with The Couch with Dr. Sue, and we're going to be talking to Sunshine Moreau, which is a transsexual porn star. So it's going to be a little spiced up tomorrow. So for the week of heart, please don't tune in. But for the ones that can tolerate a little bit of extreme, definitely be in tune at 10 p.m. tomorrow with Dr. Sue and myself.
I'll be there at 9:30.
Before the doors open, before the janitor, P. Austin will be there making coffee.
I'm already interested.
Right, like, look, I'm just going to stay up, like, camp out like it's a concert, definitely. Good times. So, P., it's been, like, a good show, and it was amazing for me to be able to, like, you know, get back in the swing of thing with the Haps, and I look forward to the next one.
Yes, bigger and better things, definitely. I'm you know, I really want to get the guys from Duck Dynasty, so I don't know if you've gotten in tune with them yet or not, but I'm just going to have to, you know, hook you up, because it's just insanity, and, you know, in the biggest redneck style, and they keep me entertained all the time. I mean, even it's happy drama. So
good.
Yeah.
So I welcome it. So let's just go. Let's just reach out. Let's double team and see what we can pull out of the hat of the Haps hat. And
absolutely.
You know, like I said again, you know, you guys stay in tune with us, because we want to stay in tune with you. T. Weston Reed, tell them where they can find you and where they can find your music to stay in tune with you and Wicked Chicks.
Yeah, Facebook. You can look us up as Wicked Chicks and or Austin Monier Hennessy Rain, or you can do a search on. You can find me at T. Austin Reed, the producer, on Facebook. Or Google. Google is the best way to just pull me up. I'd be going through 5 million sites otherwise. So, you know, I know how. In a nutshell.
So, yeah, definitely. Just throw her name in the Google and she definitely pops up. T. Austin Reed, thank you so very much for being amazing, and I look forward to the next Haps.
Thank you, Miss P. You have this big, wonderful thing going on with the entire family, who I love and adore and completely miss. I love all you guys. Thank you for your continuous, you know, dedication to everything that's going on. And, you know, I always appreciate the opportunity to, you know, come on the show and, you know, just have a good time and relate and just relay information on a constant basis, you know, or as much as possible. So I'm looking forward to much better days, and, you know, I'll be back in the chat rooms. Trust me.
I'm sure, because you're missed there. You know, people are asking, and I'm telling them she's working on her stuff, but she will be back in tune. So This would be a good thing for everybody to know that this is all about to happen. So I'm going to close the show on that note, and I'm definitely going to close it on a T. Austin song. So which one should we play, T. Austin? You pick Happy to See Me or The Darker Side. Which I
Let's go with Happy to See Me, because I'm always happy to see you.
And I'm always happy to see you. So on that note, you have a good night, and you guys tune in to Happy to See Me by T. Austin Reed. And The Numbers Don't Lie, check out on Reverb Nation number
Wicked
one.
Wicked Chicks. Love you, babe.
Love you, too. Good night. Yay.
Go gadget, superstar. My body's so bionic, I'm for attention from every dimension. Baby, super fashion, right before my eyes.
I'm in tune,
about to take it to the moon, let's go.
I'm in tune,
I'm in tune,
I'm in tune.